Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Word association with John MacArthur.
I use the complete idiot's guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, thank you for coming. And I've talked to enough guys this morning to know that some of you came hoping that we would take up where we left off in 2019.
Yeah, I'll bet there were. This is Wretched Radio. If you don't get the joke, it's because you can't see the video I'm staring at from the Shepherd's Conference 2026. Phil Johnson hosting a Q&A panel featuring Dr. John Piper, Dr. Al Mohler, Dr. Ligon Duncan, and Mark Dever. And he lightened the mood and then launched into a tonally perfect conversation about the legacy of Dr. John MacArthur. It didn't get all soppy. It didn't treat him as if he were some sort of, and I mean this in the Roman Catholic way, saint, because you're called as a saint. You don't need to go through that bibbidi-bobbidi-boo process to be labeled a saint. No, you're a saint because you are in Christ. That is why we are actually all saints. Phil Johnson, he treated Dr. John MacArthur and his legacy respectfully. So did the other men. And they kind of geeked out. I don't mind telling you. They kind of went into a preaching zone, which you would expect from five guys who are excellent preachers. They talked about application. They talked about illustration. They talked about exposition, making the plain things as plain as possible. It was, for preachers, it was like, yeah, baby. And I was so impressed with Phil Johnson. But having said that, where is it, Johnson? Where is it? He did a breakout session and he talked about the eternality of hell. Hey, that's current. And it is supposed to be posted online and it isn't. So cough it up, grace to you. Cough it up, Shepherd's Conference. Some of us would like to hear that breakout session. He also did a plenary session in the big room, which is actually known as the church, which was packed, by the way. It was really full. The worship as excellent as always. And the lineup of speakers was spectacular, not the least of which was Paul Washer, who my understanding is, because I heard whispers of this, which typically means it was gossip, but it's not. Because somebody, I can't remember, I read some sort of blurb because I don't do the X thing and the Twitter business. So a lot of this stuff just flies by me. But apparently not everybody was happy with something that Paul Washer said. Let's give it a hearing and you listen for something that you might say was wrong with this because he was criticized for this. Let's give the man a hearing and then we'll discuss.
And I did something that men do not often do to men like him.
He visited Dr. John MacArthur on his deathbed.
But should do all the time. I walked in and I said, Dr. MacArthur, is it well with your soul?
Sorry, I'm not supposed to be stopping it, am I? That's a great question to ask everybody and anybody. Is it well with your soul? Nobody is above that level of accountability. That's what we're here for the one another ring, to make sure that even somebody who has exhibited faithfulness for decades has everything settled and sorted with their Lord. In other words, that they're born again, they're walking with the Lord, and they're going to soon see his face.
Are you reading the word? Talk to me about your prayer life. How is your communion with Christ? And he had almost a shocked look on his face. And then he smiled as though, I am so glad you asked.
That probably because it was coming from Paul Washer. You'd totally expect to ask questions like that.
I'm reading here. I'm praying here. I'm trusting here. Yeah, but how's your heart? Do you feel as though you're encouraged in the Holy Spirit? Yes, I do. Do you see? A relationship between men, one far greater than the other, but nonetheless, a relationship between brothers.
Question. Did Paul Washer do that right? This was his opportunity to see a dear friend. Decades they've known each other, labored together. I think there's more of a relationship between grace to you. Let me say, no, not grace to you, because that's a separate ministry from Grace Community Church. But there was a closer working relationship, I think, with Heart Cry Ministries. That's Paul Washer's ministry. And we'll just call it John MacArthur stuff. These men knew each other well, and Paul Washer chose to make sure that his brother was actually still walking with the Lord before he rather soon would meet his Savior. Question, would you do it that way? Now, again, I've heard that there were some critiques about it that, hey, that's not the appropriate thing, especially with a guy who's exhibited so much faithfulness. Instead, you could just talk about the joy of the Lord and the glory of what it's going to be like to see Jesus Christ face to face. Question, is that the right way to minister to somebody who is on their deathbed? I could probably come up with a third and fourth option, but I think two will suffice. So the question is, did Paul Washer do it right? Did other people get it right when they said, ooh, don't need to interrogate a fellow? You need to just share the gospel with the individual because they are firmly fixed in Christ. Jimmy, congratulations.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
What say you, Jimmy Hicks?
Ask me again. Ask me the question you want me to specifically answer.
Oh, I see. You don't like walking into traps anymore.
I do not.
Is that what this has become? Okay. Paul Washer basically wanted to make sure that John MacArthur on his deathbed was walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
Others have said, no, you should just be sharing how wonderful it's going to be to see Jesus. Which method, which style, which approach was correct?
Which approach is correct? Yes.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point. Right. I think both of those have merit. Honestly, they do. And the reason I think that this is an instructive and helpful exercise is because almost certainly you're going to visit somebody on their deathbed. Not easy, not fun, because it's sad. But simultaneously, even though it's sad, you still have an opportunity to witness or to minister to somebody who will soon meet their maker. How do you do it? And the answer I think that Jimmy gave is correct. Yes. I think it is wise to ask, hey, how are you doing? How's your faith? How are you feeling about going to meet Jesus Christ? And to ask, have they continued to press on in the disciplines, in the means of grace that are given to us, Bible reading, prayer, fellowship, listening to sermons, etc. I think that is perfectly within the realm of correct. Simultaneously, I also think that it would be right to talk so much about the gospel and how wonderful Jesus Christ is and what they have to look forward to and how delightful it is going to be in his presence and to spend time with the most glorious being in the universe and with all of the saints that have gone before you. How wonderful that. I think you can do that. I think you can read the Bible. I think you can pray together. I think if the individual obviously can't make their way to church, doing communion together, I don't think it should be the rule, but I think that there are appropriate exceptions. Taking communion together, so that we can be helping to fix their mind on Christ, to set their eyes toward him and gaze upon him so that they can die well, which is another subject. Dying well, being in the bed, that's one thing. Ministering to somebody in that bed, that's another thing. So my question for you is, are you prepared to do that? If not, take a cue from Paul Washer. Take a cue from those who said online, hey, I think that I would do this a little bit differently. And study those who have done it. You would do well to talk to pastors. Ask them how they do it, because they have experience in these things. Almost certainly they're going to bring in a Bible. They might bring in a hymn to sing. They would perhaps have a little, some thoughts collected and gathered. They've almost certainly got certain verses in their Bible marked up that they are, these are the go-to verses when somebody is sick or when somebody is on their deathbed. These are the verses that they go to. If you are not prepared for that, might encourage you to do so. Because you will, have the heavy task someday of doing that. But also you'll have the privilege of watching somebody march off into glory. Question, are you ready to bid them adieu well? This is Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Most of us haven't really thought about persecution, not the real kind, not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource, Persecution, is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. You ever had a question that you weren't sure your small group could handle? Like, what does the Bible actually say about mental health? Or what does biblical manhood look like for a 20-something who's never seen and modeled? These aren't easy topics, but they're the exact topics our Fortis Forums tackle. And all of these Fortis Forums are available right now on Fortis Plus, on your phone, your tablet, and even your TV. You can go and download the Fortis Plus app right now on wherever you download apps, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services, and you're paying for at least 6 of them. But somehow, every night, you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched 3 times at least, it might actually do you some good.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's talk about the big things, and let's talk about the little things. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know how, don't know why. I don't understand the algorithm business, but I was looking at some shorts on the thing where you swipe it. And wow, is that a potential black hole? I'm telling you, it's like I can watch dog rescue videos and dog adoption videos till the cows come home, and you can just whoop, dive, just Alice in Wonderland. You just go down that hole and you find it hard to get back out of it. Somehow there were videos that I thought, this is it. These are the big things of life. They were videos of women that were basically sharing the test results from a pregnancy test and seeing the dad's reaction. And I went, that's sweet. And then, of course, because you watch one of them, then it starts to populate with the stuff that they think that you want to watch, because you're like a fish. That's you and I, we're fishes. And they just, the hook with the bait on it, and they just get us right by the lip, and they just tug us in, and we can't stop watching this stuff. The next one were individuals, these couples typically, that were revealing to the mom and dad, in other words, the grandparents, that they were naming their newborn child after one of them. Oh man, Scylla, that was just, and you know, these, especially the guys, the grandpas that were told your grandson is going to be named after you. They just lost it. And I stopped and I thought, okay, why? And there's a number of reasons. Obviously, it's an honor. I think for some men that they have a sense, it's nice to know that the effort that they put into their family, that this is some form of a legacy for that. I think for some men, it's a thought that, hey, in some small way, they'll be remembered. And maybe, just maybe, somebody will name, my grandchild will name their child after me too. It made these men just verklempt. And I thought, how delightful is that? Because there are some things that I think precede the decision to name a child after a grandparent, well, after their parents, really. And that is, the family is intact. It's somewhat functional. There's a warm relationship there. The kids haven't ghosted the parents, and the parents haven't run off to Florida to just abandon their kids because it's now me time, which just both sides of that equation are like, you're missing out on the big stuff. And then I don't know how this happens. There was another set of videos that popped up in my feed, and it was the guys that are standing at the altar waiting for their brides to come in. And she shows up resplendent in white, and the dudes just lose it. And I don't know if it's because of the Celine Dion music that they seem to play with each and every one of these videos. Can't we pick different songs? Okay, here's the other one. It's a that dreadful John Lennon song. It's like, really? There's no other songs that we could play besides this to like tug on people's emotions. I was able to listen through that to see what was happening in these instances. And I thought to myself, these are the unheralded, unsung big things. Hollywood has very little interest, not no interest, but very little interest in. They don't put their emphasis on these moments that are so profound and rich. And I thought, how do we convey this to a new generation? That's what you're gunning for right there. That's what you're after right there. Those moments. Because the world is telling them, perpetual buzz, it's all about you, live your life, make sure you're happy, just 24/7. And with that comes a degree of, I'm trying to think of a better word than selfishness, where you don't invest in those types of moments. We need to let younger generations know somehow to model, that's what you're after. You're after moments that are sweet. You're after deathbed moments that are profound. that are so rich that you are so stirred internally because you've been doing something with another human being for decades. Those are the big things. Career advancement, nice. Gaining some bank, that's cool. Being able to purchase a house, all that very, very fine stuff. But those aren't the big things. The big things are the sweet moments between human beings that have some profound depth to them. Go for those things if you're young. Set your sights on those things. Now, that this is what it'll look like. You have an opportunity. Now, I'm not saying every single decision needs to be made this way, but you have an opportunity to take paths every single day. You can choose to do stuff for yourself, go running around, never be with the parents, never be involved with them. Or you can sometimes at least say, sorry, guys, you go play. I'm going to go be with my parents. They need help with something. I'm just going to drop by. Now, I'm just going to honor them and let them know that I care about them. I'm going to eulogize them by visiting them. Gun for those things. Because I'm telling you, someday, if you don't appreciate it now, you will. Let's talk about the small things. Received an email sent to idea@wretched.org. Todd, I enjoy playing chess, photography, cooking. But above all, I do enjoy reading my Bible. So how does someone who enjoys chess or photography or car building, etc., keep God at the front of those hobbies? I'm fearful to study chess out of fear of neglecting the word or prayer or his will. I know there are Christian chefs, chef players, or artists, but how do I worship God in those hobbies I enjoy? Those are the small things. How do you do those things in profound ways? How do those things have significance? Should we be doing those little things at all? That's the question that this being forwarded via this email. It's so important to me, he writes, to understand this. Because if it's not, then I'll forsake all those things. Because God is far more important than anything. That has to be a heart that pleases the Lord, isn't it? Is there any way to make God the focal point in all we do? Hobbies, woodworking, car rebuilding, chess, art, etc. How does one do this? In all that I do, I want God to be the point I do it, that I worship him in whatever hobby, job, all that I do. That's a question I think a lot of people ask. And I think that if I could reframe all of everything that he was articulating, it is, how do I connect my faith to everything? Now, this would be an opportunity. Typically, a lesser talk show host would plug and promote his new book coming out this fall. Actually, it's going to be, I think pre-sale starts September 1st. It's called Go Serve Your King. And that's really probably the essence of the book. How you connect everything to everything when it comes to your faith and reality. How are those linked together? And I think that when it comes to the little things, we need to be careful. Because I do believe that everything should be done to the glory of God. And yet simultaneously, there's no way that you can sit and play chess while pondering the state of first century slavery because you're considering the book of Philemon. You can't do both. And what I hear being reflected in this email is that if I'm not doing Bible reading, I'm not doing something that is connected to my faith. That's wrong. Everything you do is connected to your faith. Everything. Now, you're probably not mindful of it most of the time, but the reality is everything you do, the good way or the bad way, it glorifies the Lord. So how do you go about the business of having fun, doing hobbies, taking naps, and enjoying cold watermelon on a summer day? How do you do that? And the answer is you live as a Christian. That's it. You're a Christian. Live. Talk to your Lord as often as you want to, which should increasingly be more and more because it's the best conversation you can have. Study his word. Be with his people. Now, those are specific things that we can be confused in with our dualistic minds to say, well, that's the religious stuff. Now, what about the other stuff? And I'm telling you, there's no distinction. There's no difference. It doesn't mean that you have to be thinking about the Lord all the time. You should think about him as much as you can because it's the best thought that you can have. But just because you're not doesn't mean that you're not being a believer any more than a parent who goes off to work, who isn't at the moment thinking about their kid who's being homeschooled or playing tennis, makes them a bad parent. You do your responsibilities, but your life revolves around your family as a parent, ditto with God. And that means if the center of your life is Jesus Christ, then everything you do is for his glory. Should you pray before you play chess? You can. Does that mean you have to be thinking about Jesus when you're considering rook to bishop 7? I have no idea what I'm talking about. The point is, live your life as a Christian. Don't feel terrible if you're not perpetually thinking about the Lord while simultaneously recognizing the best thought you can have all day is thinking about your Lord. And that is how you live your life as a Christian and glorify him and enjoy him even in the little things. This is Wretched Radio.